Beloved friends, we welcome you to the broadcast and greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ again, a name we never tire of repeating. We've had the sacred privilege of meditating upon the Apostle Paul's great goal for his Christian life, to ultimately reach the heavenly and the eternal prize before him above, to see and to be with Christ in glory. Paul never did forget the moment when the risen Lord revealed himself on the day of his conversion to his heart, on that road to Damascus, as it is recorded in Acts chapter 9. Through all of his diligent and faithful service for his master, there always dwelt within his heart the great longing to see that Lord, Christ, in glory above. Even when in the bonds of imprisonment after many years of service, this burning desire continued and it even increased. 'Twas the prize before him. Today we come to verses 20 and 21 in chapter 3 of the Philippian letter. They reveal the consummation of that goal, when it would take place. We read the words, Paul writing by the Spirit, saying, "For our conversation," meaning our citizenship, or our commonwealth, "is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, or the body of humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself." May God bless the reading and hearing of this precious portion. My beloved friends, do not these words bring before your heart and my heart, believer, the blessed hope, the blessed final goal before you and before me, as well as before all others who belong to the Lord? As believers, note, Paul says we are citizens of heaven. Our relationships, the rights that belong to us, and our possessions, we do not boast of them being on the earth, but greater still, in heaven above. After all, is it not true? We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry how much out? Nothing, according to 1 Timothy 6, verse 7. But note that Paul writes by the Holy Spirit in our scripture to say, "Our conversation is in heaven." The Greek word for conversation is the word from which we get our English word, politics. Truly we may say as Christians, our politics are in heaven. And may I be reminded, my beloved fellow believer, the day's coming when we'll not be taken up with any earthly politics ever. But that which is taking place in heaven. So if we therefore brought nothing into this world and take nothing out, yet do we not have a wonderful prospect and a great joy? As we realize we brought nothing, we take nothing out of the world, but we can realize the Christian is going to go from nothing to everything. Praise the Lord. Did not the Lord Jesus give the promise, "I go to prepare a place for you"? And is not heaven a prepared place for a prepared people? We have nothing to take with us. The Lord himself is all we need. He's prepared the place. And by his redeeming death for our sins upon the cross, and his living intercessory priesthood, now in heaven, we are sure of going there. But note carefully. Note that it is from heaven we are looking for the Savior to come. Let me repeat it. We are looking for the Savior to come from heaven. Did he not say, "I will come again and receive you unto myself"? that where I am, there ye may be also, in John 14, verse 3. My beloved Christian companion, may I ask, are you looking toward heaven, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ? As Paul wrote to his dear friend Titus in chapter 2, verse 13. Now what is he going to do when he comes? Listen to what Paul says. Who shall transform or change our body of humiliation into conformity to his body of glory? My beloved, listen, you that are believers in the Lord Jesus, aren't you longing for that change, a new body? As the hymn writer once wrote, oh, what a change when I shall see his wonderful face. The redemption of our body, the glory of the resurrected and raised body from among the dead, and the glory of that changed body if we are living at the blessed translation of saints when Jesus comes. Beloved, please let me emphasize the glorious transformation. The apostle looked forward to it, and every child of God can anticipate that new body transformed into a body of glory like the body of our blessed Lord above. A sinless body, a sickless body, a painless body, a deathless body, a spiritual body, yes, even a glorified body. My beloved, the present body that you and I possess, we know that at death it will be planted in the ground and laid there in corruption. But when it will be raised, it will be incorruptible. When it's placed in the grave, in dishonor, marred by sin, yet it's going to be raised in glory. It may be and it will be buried in weakness as the inevitable result of sin. But that new body will be a body that is raised in power. It may be planted in the dust as a natural body. God says it's going to be raised a spiritual body. And the spiritual will dominate the new body. Planted in the earth at death, 'tis put in the earth an earthly body. But in resurrection, when it comes out, 'tis a heavenly body. Not like Adam the first, the man of earth, but like Christ, the man from heaven. For as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Read verses 43 through 49. See the great change of the body at the resurrection and the coming of the Lord. Do you then wonder that Paul wrote those words we've dwelt on in the past in chapter 1, verse 21? For to me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. My, thank God for the joy of knowing the death of the believer is not a loss. It is a gain. But go to Philippians 3:21 again. Note specially these words. Three words. Positively assuring Paul and all believers of this coming change. Three short words. He is able. All things will be brought into submission to our wonderful Lord. He will do it all. My fellow believer, what a Savior you and I have. And may I say, I must and I will depend on that glorious change coming, whether I'm living when Jesus comes or in the grave. He is able. I am the resurrection of the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. For whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall what? Never die. My beloved, my Savior is the God of resurrection power. And I wait the time when the graves of the saints will be opened, and when the living saints will be changed in that moment. But let me go back to a verse in Philippians chapter 1. For Paul wrote in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, he which hath done a good work in you will perform or finish it, perfect it, until the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ is the day of his coming. And that is the time our bodies will be changed, making them like unto his own body of glory. As Paul, or John rather, the apostle wrote, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. My beloved, may I say, may I ask the question, can you find any person other than the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord himself, who has the power to raise the dead? Read John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, where we read of the command of the voice of the Son of God, all the dead are going to be raised. Not at the same time. First, the resurrection of those unto life eternal. Later on, the resurrection of judgment of those who are lost. Who's going to do it? The Lord Jesus said, they that are in the grave shall come forth at his voice. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And it's a good thing he said, Lazarus, come forth. For if he hadn't called him by name, the whole cemetery would have come. Oh, beloved, what a joy to know the promise. But am I talking to an unsaved listener? You can have, and you will have, the same glorious prospect if you receive Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Let me remind you, it is Christ you have a choice to make. Christ died for your sins, and if in repentance and faith, convicted by the Holy Spirit, you receive Christ into your heart and soul and life, this same blessed Savior, you will someday be like him and live with him forever. But on the other hand, if you never receive him, reject him, and refuse to put your faith in Christ, you'll have to spend your eternity in hell. Not with Christ, but with the devil and his angels, in eternal sorrow. Oh, may I say in closing, my unsaved listener, choose now. Choose Christ. Choose now, just now. Your soul is at stake. What will your answer be? 'Tis life or death, and the choice you make is made for eternity. God help you to choose Christ. Our blessed Father, as we close in prayer, we bless thee for the glorious prospect that every child of God can anticipate when our Lord Jesus comes. A changed, resurrected, glorified body. But we pray, Lord, for all who are unsaved and listening to the message to come to Christ now. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.